a broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we welcome one of the most celebrated and versatile drummers of his generation. A two-time Grammy winner with more than 700 albums and film scores to his credit, including 50 as a leader or co-leader, Peter Erskine has been voted Best Jazz Drummer of the Year 10 times by the readers of Modern Drummer. He was a key player in the groundbreaking bands Weather Report and Steps Ahead, and a longtime educator with the Thornton School of Music at USC. Erskine is also the author of several books, including No Beethoven, an autobiography and chronicle of Weather Report. Saturday, July 20th, the Erskine Trio with pianist Alan Pasqua and bassist Darek Olas will be joined by saxophonist Bob Mincer for one show only in the intimate Athenaeum Music and Arts Library in La Jolla. Peter Erskine joins me today from his home in Santa Monica. And Peter, it's great to have you on Inside Art.
Thank you. That was a spectacular introduction. And
Thank you. I'd like to make all my guests feel real comfortable here on the program.
I'm feeling very comfortable, and it's nice to be here, and really looking forward to coming back to La Jolla. It really is one of the best listening audiences that we've ever played for, that I've ever played for. I've had the good fortune of playing both at the Neuroscience Institute as well as at the library, and it's just a lot of fun. So I'm grateful that Dan is bringing us back for yet another show.
Well, this trio, these are people that you have such a great connection with. And, of course, Bob Mincer, you go back, decades with Bob as well. But this simpatico, this connection that you have with Alan and Darek, how did that all come about?
Well, you mentioned Bob. I've known Bob since 1969. We were high school classmates at a place called Interlochen Arts Academy. And then just a couple of years later, in the fall of 1971, I ran into Alan Pasqua at a jam session. I just started attending Indiana University. And we became housemates, and we were in a rock band together, and we both had very long hair and that whole thing. So the only reason I bring that up is that you establish and you can maintain an unusually high level of trust, respect, admiration. And when you're creating music with another musician, and you have that level of trust and respect for him or her, it just seems to open up all sorts of possibilities, and also keeps a lot of the non-essential baloney out of the picture.
Well, you guys have made a couple albums together. The most recent release that I know of is Live in Italy from 2022. Mostly original compositions here, a couple of standards as well. Is that what you intend to do for this performance on the 20th of July?
Well, we will play some music from that live album. I'll add that to the plaudits if that's okay. It did earn a Grammy nomination. We didn't bring home the prize, but we were very happy that the album did well, and just in general that something that's a result of an artist-owned label. I mean, literally, it's a kitchen tabletop operation we have here. It's gratifying that at least the good word gets out. There's a brand new album that's just was announced today on social media. It's a little tricky to find. This involves Macintosh, now not the Macintosh of Apple computer fame, but Macintosh of the unbelievably high-end stereo equipment fame. And we did a recording at what used to be known as A&M Studios. It's now Henson Studios. Many listeners might know this studio as it's the We Are the World studio. Anyway, it's a great sounding room. And we did a direct to two-track tape recording this quartet. And then it was, this album was done in cooperation between Macintosh and Sterling Sound. They're the great mastering company. And so when you do an album, you can either mix it later, which means you kind of balance and rebalance all the elements, or you make the commitment, you mix it live. Not only do you need a great engineer, but you need musicians who can get it right, and you don't need to go back and fix something. So that's that part of the process. But then to prepare that music for being pressed either on an LP or a CD, it goes through a process or a step known as mastering. And so the aim of this, and we are volume one, was to create these very high-end LPs. And they do sound spectacular. I was listening to it last night. I just got my copy. So this quartet did that, and this quartet will play some music from that release, including a lively theme that I penned for a film that just premiered back east at the Tribeca Festival called Sacramento. And my daughter, Maya Erskine, is acting in that, and her husband, Michael Angarano, wrote and directed and also stars in it. So this, I hope this qualifies as one of the longest run-on sentence answers you had on your show.
well, maybe among the finalists, but that's okay. So maybe you could, in a kind of a specific way, characterize the strengths of each of these players you'll be performing with, as you see it from behind the drum set.
Okay. Let's start with the drummer's best friend, and that's the bass player, Derek Olas. Years ago, we played a concert. It was at an art gallery, I think. It was one of the venues that the Athenaeum was using. And it was a trio of Derek, myself, and the tenor saxophonist, Bob Shepherd. And it was Derek's turn to play a solo. And he starts the solo, and he's just walking, which means he's playing the boom, 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 the quarter note pulse. And most bass players will take the opportunity to boom, boop, doop, 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 you know, and he kept walking. And he did so for course after course. Course is the length of one version of the tune, let's say. And the musical interest and the tension that he created by doing it, I announced afterwards, I said, ladies and gentlemen, that's the greatest bass solo I've ever heard, and I think that you may ever hear it. So his ability to swing and his focus and his intonation is second to none. He's just a brilliant bassist, and it's so much fun to play with him. Pianist Alan Pasqua, his touch, his tone, his harmonic sensibilities. I just love listening to him play. And apparently so do many other people. Bob Mincer is a swinger, one of the most complete musicians I've ever met, great composer. All three of these guys are great educators, so they know how to project what they know, whether it's through their instrument or verbally. And I think those skills can go hand in hand. So they're articulate. They're not quite as verbose as I'm proving to be. Hey, you called me.
Well, you mentioned, you bring up an important point about being good educators. You, for a long time, and I think you recently retired from the faculty at USC, but what did that experience bring to your playing as you look back on it as a player?
Well, the thing about teaching, you know, good students, and the Thornton School of Music was a very powerful magnet for attracting good students, is that they force you to be, if not at the very top of your game, you have to be sharp enough to be able to provide something of value to them. And otherwise, it's, you're wasting everyone's time. So again, I think it brings about just awareness of what you're doing, why you do it. So I think it helped me to refine my touch on the instrument, and just to get closer and closer to the bone, you know, cutting away the superfluous. I termed it baloney, and I don't know why I'm turning to meat metaphors, but there you go.
Well, as you look back on your own lengthy career, what were some of those, seminal pieces of information or critical pieces of, transmitted advice that really have stayed with you all these years?
Well, some of the first criticism I got was from a pianist named Nat Pierce. He used to be one of the stalwart players on the Woody Herman band back in the 60s, and he was subbing for an ailing Stan Kenton. And I would go up to the front of the bus after the shows, and we'd do these gigs and then have to ride the bus for several hours to the next town. And I was hanging on his every word. I wanted to hear the stories he had to tell. And he appreciated my companionship as the bus is driving through the darkness. But at some point every night, I might have been a masochist, but he would chuckle and he'd go, "You're a nice kid. You can't swing, but you're a nice kid." And so I thought, well, okay, if I can't swing, then what do I need to do to change that? And that was part of the process of ultimately trying not to think too hard and just become more aware of listening. Anytime I got advice that helped, whether it was Joe Zawinul on Weather Report saying, always compose when you play. And then that was tempered by Jocko's advice, don't think so much, just concentrate, meaning just listen, really. And then Manfred Eicher at ECM Records, I was struggling one time in the studio, and he came over, he said, it's going to be fine. He said, you're not listening right now. That's what's happening. Just listen, and you'll know exactly what to play. And bringing it back, Dave, to teaching, ultimately, each semester began with my telling the students, or let's say the academic year, we can really simplify this. Just play what you want it to sound like. Much of the teaching process then became helping a student discover what did they want it to sound like.
We're with legendary drummer Peter Erskine, who brings a stellar quartet to the Athenaeum Music and Arts Library in La Jolla on Saturday, July 20th. Stay with us as our conversation continues here on Inside Art on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego. To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art, joined this week by drummer extraordinaire Peter Erskine, with quite a history of not only jazz, but all kinds of music and film music, and you're writing and performing for theater now. As you look at the kind of the variety, the astounding variety of what you have played on, is there anything that you think that you are not adept at, that you just, I can't go there, I can't, I'm not qualified?
Yeah, don't ask me for any investment advice. I'm not very clever in terms of that kind of stuff. And musically, there's so much to learn, and you know, the glaring deficiencies in my own playing. Maybe part of the benefits of getting older is you kind of learn how to avoid or sidestep some of those things, so they're not so glaring for the listeners. I think if anything, Dave, I've just learned to enjoy playing the instrument more, and that's the reason that, you know, we're doing this tour, this short tour of California. Alan Pasqua, Darek Olas, and Bob Minzer, because we enjoy each other's company. And it really can come down to that. You don't want unnecessary drama, and you want to be challenged musically. And I think we all fit that bill for each other.
Well, you've played with some great musicians and great characters in music over the years, including your time with Weather Report, which you write about in a book that was back in 2013, I believe, and it's still available from your own publishing company that you have, along with your own record label. Maybe you can give us a little overview of that book, No Beethoven, An Autobiography and Chronicle of Weather Report.
Well, the having one's own publishing company is nothing really to brag much about. But there are several versions of the book available, including a really well-done audiobook version. I had a really good producer for that, and I do all the voices. And so if you want to hear my Joe Zawinul imitation, that's the place to find it. The writing of the book was cathartic. I think authors will often say something like that, but it really was good for me to get these things down on paper. And a lot of the anecdotes or stories, it wasn't the first time that they appeared on paper, because I would keep notes. Right now, I'm in this process of trying to thin out my music collection books. Not being morbid, but just planning ahead that my wife or children wouldn't be left with, you know, what do we do with all this stuff? So I'm finding good homes for a lot of music and a lot of memorabilia. And I'm coming across all these snippets of things that I wrote down. Here was a good quote from Weather Report's road manager when I first joined, about Joe Zawinul. Because Joe could be a confrontational guy. So the late Harvey Schaps, this road manager, said, if he knows what you don't like, he'll be sure to come up and talk to you about it when you least want to hear it. And the other interesting thing was I was the only, you know, your listeners can't see, but you and I can see each other in this Zoom call. You might notice I have some cameras hanging on the wall behind me, and it's my one true passion, kind of a hobby. And I was the only guy, and not only in Weather Report, but other bands, I was the only one with the camera. And I was not shy about taking it out and grabbing photos. So that's the thing I would love to do. I would love to put a photo book out. If anyone is interested, the iPad version, the iPad book, the Apple book version, whatever you would call it, of No Beethoven, literally has thousands of photos. We spent a lot of time, you know, designing the way this would work, and it's pretty cool. Somewhat overlooked, but that's kind of the story of my life. Getting back to the self-publishing thing, it's not all chalked up to be. Having said that, however, and it kind of goes with being a drummer, we enjoy not being told how to do things. So
Well, were you the second drummer? Is that my recollection of Weather Report?
No, I was well down the line. Let's see. Before me, there was Alphonse Fuson, Eric Gravatt, Darryl Brown, Skip Haddon, Ishmael Wilburn, the drummer from Sly, Greg Errico from Sly and the Family Stone, Ndugu, Leon Chancellor, Chester Thompson, Narada Michael Walden played on an album, and Alex Acuna. So I was at the earliest, I was the 11th drummer.
Well, did they have a problem? Did they have some problems hanging on to a drummer a la Spinal Tap? Or?
Like I said, you know, the drummers don't like to be told how to play, and there was quite a bit of that in Weather Report. So early on, I said aloud to myself, I said, these guys know more about this than I do, so I have to kind of stick this out. And when I first went on the road, I was only 18, and I was very tempted to get off the road. It's exciting, it's fun, it's brutal. That was another decision I made. The deal I made with myself was, you've got to stick this out. You know, there's just something to some measure of longevity with a band. Not only can you learn more, but I just saw drummers come and go in other groups, and I said, that doesn't seem to be a road to wherever it is I thought I wanted to go.
Well, in that band, you played with Jaco Pastorius, and you had mentioned earlier the importance of the drummer bassist relationship and how you view it, you know, obviously with your trio and quartet here. But when you first heard him and started playing with him, what were your impressions of Jaco?
Well, his command of rhythm and time was remarkable, and this was a case where, I mean, you know, Jaco certainly had a more dominant personality. But I came from big bands, and so I had a measurable level of confidence that they could all appreciate. And I think Joe and Wayne, because Jaco sold me to them, they were intrigued by the fact I played in big bands. So Joe and Wayne, the first gig for both of them with Maynard Ferguson's big band, way back when, and just the idea that this drummer played with Kenton, I always imagined in their head they were thinking of the Stan Kenton of the 1950s. I have no confidence that had they heard me in either of those bands that they would have been so keen to bring me in. But thanks to Jaco, I got the chance. But I, you know, I was looking at him and providing him. What I've noticed with players like Darek and other bass players, where Dave Carpenter, the late Dave Carpenter, we used to also come down and play for the Athenaeum. These are bass players who pay great attention to the drummer. So it's not unusual that their eyes will be focused on the tip of my drumstick playing on the ride cymbal. And so the beat is... we're right together, and so listening also takes good eye contact, and so I kind of in my playing history, let's say, I think it went from me hanging on every bass note or bass word to a little bit the other way around, and that's really good for bebop.
Well, with Jaco, you were also part of his Word of Mouth band, and there is a recent issue of a previously unreleased concert that was heard on National Public Radio's Jazz Alive series, must be some 40 years or so ago, a tremendous recording unearthed by Zev Feldman and his associates, the Jazz Detective. Have you heard this release, and what are your impressions looking back on this great big band?
Well, I had heard the NPR broadcast of the concert, and it sounded like a live mix that where the engineer wasn't getting everything right, and this engineer had always hoped to get a second chance, and thanks to Zev, he got that second chance, and so the recording was remixed. The tapes were in excellent shape, and it's impressive. I mean, what Jaco was trying to do, you know, he became a handful, and I think his mental illness played a part in this. But you know, he had so much genius. I'm not a medical professional, but I just think the big picture on him was, it would have been hard for anybody to manage or contain that level of musical inspiration and data and information. The word of mouth, not only the live stuff, but when you listen to that studio album, it's a real masterpiece. It's lasted, you know, multiple tests of time, and that's what great works of art can do. And he was aiming to create a great work of art.
You know who's also on that album is Bob Mincer.
Yep. I was all over that album. I mean, Jaco knew about Bob, but I think I can at least take credit for connecting the dots because, you know, I knew Bob from, as I mentioned, from high school. And, you know, Bob, when I was on the road with Kenton and then later with Maynard, Bob was on the road with Buddy Rich's band. We're going back, Dave, to the days when the big bands functioned as these incredible, not only schools for young musicians, but they were real door openers. And it's a different scene today, and they're different. You know, I feel sorry for the musicians that don't get a chance to have had that experience, because something about being in a large group, being part of that bigger ensemble and being part of something bigger than yourself. There's just something far more appealing than being the star of your own TikTok things, you know.
Well, we are just privileged to have a wealth of experience and and taste among the four great players to be featured on July 20th at the Athenaeum Music and Arts Library, led by the great drummer Peter Erskine, who's been my guest on Inside Art. Peter, thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate you being on the program.
My great pleasure. Folks, come out to hear the music. It's a wonderful listening environment, and the announcements will be short, concise, I promise.
The Peter Erskine Trio, with pianist Alan Pasqua, bassist Darek Olas, and special guest saxophonist Bob Mincer, performs Saturday, July 20th at 7:30 in the Athenaeum Music and Arts Library's Farrell Family Summer Jazz Series. Space is limited, and tickets can be purchased at ljathenaeum.org. Macintosh Sessions Volume 1, The Peter Erskine Quartet, with Erskine, Pasqua, Olas, and Mincer, is a new vinyl album release and available at shop.macintoshlabs.com. Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/insideart. Again, my thanks to Peter Erskine. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art.